Dedication. I dedicate this book to my wife, who has been supportive and understanding unlike anyone I have ever known. The inspiration for this book came from a lifetime of wandering. Along the way, and largely by serendipity, people came along who helped me enumerate and define my views. Ruth Woodruff, a writing professor, helped me compose my thoughts. She also helped to expand my range of thought and challenged me to take into consideration other vantage points. She had this uncanny ability to bring up complementary views and perspectives. But most importantly, she provided that much-needed reality check that every writer needs. I also want to thank Ian Vince, a British scribe who lives for the written word. His matter-of-fact perspective, without emotion or judgment, provided me with confidence that I was putting forth something of value rather than undertaking an exercise in vanity. He gave invaluable guidance and allowed me to test my hypothesis from the perspective of an objective observer. I also want to thank a college professor who shall go unnamed. After graduating from college, I requested a letter of reference from him to facilitate my entrance to graduate school. Later, I would discover that the letter was far from an endorsement. It turned out to be profoundly critical. Ironically, his negative reference letter inadvertently aided my acceptance into graduate school. The dean of the accepting graduate school was so jaded by the recurring flow of positive reference letters that he was somewhat enamored by this letter and curious about a student who could engender such heated criticism and admiration. He concluded that I must be harboring some sort of irreverent genius. Besides, he was looking to add some salt to the soup. Foreword. Upon reflection, I have been the beneficiary of an excellent education. Having attended a large public high school, I decided to find a small college where I would not get lost in the crowd. In the process, I discovered Goddard College, a small liberal arts school in Vermont with a remarkable 7-to-1 student-to-instructor ratio. As a student, I was exposed to great instructors. In return, great things were expected from me. At Goddard College, students were expected to take control of their own education and encouraged to take independent study courses in fields of interest, which I believe may have been pioneered at Goddard. But just as importantly, we were guided on how to learn, and in the process encouraged to embrace a lifetime of learning. I was determined to live a life based on continuous learning. Fortune favors those who are prepared. I achieved success in my career, and my affiliation with Goddard College didn't end with my graduation. Decades later, I became vice chairman of its board of trustees. My fascination with the field of education also led me to become a board member of the Clay International Secondary School in Makueni County, Kenya, and the chairman of the board of the School for Ethical Education, a grant-making institution supporting ethical and character education in the United States and around the world. Consequentially, my educational perspective runs the gamut from humble student to academic board member and trustee. Needless to say, my life has been a journey. This book uses a metaphorical journey to describe a student's experience in selecting and attending college. Whenever one refers to a journey, it usually represents adventure, struggle, and change. And that's exactly what I experienced as a student. But unfortunately, without the benefit of awareness and perspective offered up in this book. As Peter Klein smartly points out, Robert Frost's poem, The Road Not Taken, is a great metaphor because it combines a journey with having to make choices. The poet presents us with a fork in the road. In life, we have to make choices, and in making a choice, we must give something up. This makes decision-making very challenging. Making the truly right decision often requires the benefit of 20/20 hindsight. The components of proper decision-making are relatively simple but extremely hard to implement. First, one has to gather all relevant information and objectively weigh its pros and cons. Selecting a college and one's major are two of the most consequential decisions we must make, and yet at such an early stage in life, we are extraordinarily ill-prepared. Most of us get it wrong, since 75% of college graduates end up in careers having nothing to do with their majors. We live in a world of deceptions, misinformation, illusions, and downright misleading information, and it's all delivered with overwhelming signal noise. How can we make objective decisions in such a world of misinformation? Looking back at my life, even with a quality education, I was ill-prepared to make such significant choices. The challenge is, how does one generation explain this to the next generation, or is something that can only be appreciated through experience? Ethos, character, pathos, emotions, and logos, logic, are the three classical modes of persuasion that a person can use to write persuasively. Humbled by life, the author employs logos, reasoning, to convey his insights to the reader, in direct contrast to most academic institutions that expect the student to defer to authority of persons of higher academic standing. It used to be that education was designed to empower the student to make better choices. I'll refer you to the Einstein quote on this book's cover. Education is not the learning of facts, but the training of the mind to think. This book provides deep insights into college selection, academic study, and self-discovery. It also alerts the reader to a fundamental understanding of this world, that it is asymmetrical and often unpredictable. In fact, it's sometimes downright confusing, presenting us with dichotomies or, worse yet, a Faustian bargain. It also is a world that's undergoing changes so profound that they're altering the fundamental fabric of society. Sometimes these changes can lead to the destruction of traditional guardrails, including religion, faith, and personal responsibility. College offers the change not only to find and develop a suitable profession, but also an opportunity for self-discovery. This book offers the reader greater awareness and perspective that can empower them to better navigate college and achieve far greater outcomes in education and learning. But perhaps more importantly, it helps readers develop an appreciation for the complexity of life and its challenges and offers a toolbox for how to think about and overcome them. Peter Donovan, Chairman of the Board of the School for Ethical Education and former CEO of Wright Investors Service. Preface. There's a gap between what students expect and what colleges offer. Ask any graduate. In a recent Harvard Business Review study, 2/3 responded that their college or university puts the interests of the institution first, and only 9% believed that their students were a priority. A sizable remainder, just under a quarter, were undecided. This is not a ringing endorsement. Moreover, it's one of the most expensive decisions you'll ever make, and at best, is a gamble. Considering the massive investment of time, money, and emotional energy most students throw at their colleges, the experience can potentially turn into an expensive case of buyer's remorse. It doesn't need to be like this. Armed with the correct information and relevant encouragement, it's possible to navigate your way through college and avoid the pitfalls, U-turns, and dead ends that are so common to the student experience. Most books about extracting the maximum value from the college experience run along the same lines as a book written by a college professor and a PhD candidate in sociology titled How College Works. In it, they summarize the chronological sequence of predictable challenges faced by students. First, a student must successfully navigate the social world of college. Then they must make academic choices. Then they must establish a broader network composed of student groups that connect them with what's available in the college community. Then, finally, they need to consolidate whatever gains they've made in their college years and move on. With all due respect, this advice is about as useful as a wax candle without a wick. First of all, it's not very illuminating. Their greater offense, however, is that implicit in the summary is the feeling that all these essential decisions, along with the changes and maturation that the student is simultaneously experiencing, magically come together seamlessly and predictably. The authors fail to recognize a student's anxiety, self-doubt, and strife. All of that stuff is messy, of course. There are no simple, cut-and-dried answers. This is the equivalent of a studio recording engineer concluding a session with the phrase, "Don't worry, we can dub the talent in later." What sounds so simple, so linear, is far more complex and fraught with unconscious assumptions. In this book, I provide you with unadulterated facts to advance your perspective. What do I mean by perspective? It's typically defined as a technique of depicting volumes and spatial relationships of objects. Rather, I am referring to the state of one's ideas, facts known, and their interrelationship. This book attempts to shape a broader point of view from which to sense, categorize, measure, or codify experience. A broader perspective, designed to help you better navigate your way through the complexities of your college years, would look like this. How to take advantage of college facilities you may not know how to access just yet, or may not even be aware of. How to look beyond those gifted savants, brainiacs, and dusty academics whose incredible knowledge, specialties, and expertise might inhibit them from taking a wider view of your talents and ambitions. How to develop an education that will lead to getting interviews with potential employers. How to intentionally develop a meaningful network of colleagues, social friends, and classmates that will stay with you for the rest of your career, offering consequential advantages throughout your life. How to strategize the right mix of majors and minors that play to your strengths and develop a demonstrable breadth of knowledge. Don't be one of the college graduates who experience the educational version of buyer's remorse. Avoid the disappointment caused by the gap between your expectations and reality. I wrote this book to help fill that gap, but it is up to you to take it and run with it. If you want to know how to maximize the outcome of your time in college, you'll find the answers in this book. By learning about the pitfalls and problems up front, you'll factor them into your expectations and plan accordingly. In that way, college will be a rich and amazing experience. You'll be prepared to ensure that it facilitates learning tailored to your strengths, and you'll know how to make the most of the opportunity to meet amazing people and develop lifelong friendships. Then, when you graduate, you'll leave with fewer regrets and more great memories. I wish you luck.